Yeah, it's kind of hard to preach 4th of July messages in Guatemala. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach here again. Said still looking, waiting, checking the mail. Young man who's covering for me is really always a positive. He drives 8 hours, as I've told you before, and he keeps having a good attitude every Sunday. The semi truck came out and wiped out the power last week, and so he was all, they've been without power, and he was all proud of himself. He showed me how he wired up an inverter and got the church going. So it's impressive. It's hard to get him to figure stuff out like that, but he's really learning these kind of things and really happy with them. Anyways, well, I wanted to preach about human rights. Human rights. Are we politically correct in this message? Human rights. What are our rights as a human? What was Adam's rights? Anybody know what Adam's rights were? Adam's rights? Let's look at it. Genesis 2:7. I'm going to go through Adam's rights. This is a patriotic message. We'll get to it. Genesis 2:7. Let's see what Adam's rights were. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Life. And man became a living soul." So the first right God gave Adam was what? Life. Life. Then what did he give him? Let's see here. He gave him 2:16. 2:16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." In verse 9, we see here that there was another special tree. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant in the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So it wasn't just there's two special trees. What was the two special trees? Chloe, what was the two special trees? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know that one? There was another special tree too. It's the tree of what? Put Chloe on the spot. Tree of life, yeah. Okay, so there's two special trees. So they had the freedom, and we're gonna look at Jack Webster's dictionary. And my definition of liberty. Definition of liberty that I think is a pretty good one, to say so myself, is the freedom to better oneself. The freedom to better oneself. And Adam and Eve were free to choose of all the trees there, try them all out, and to even taste of this special tree, the tree of life. We never see them trying out the tree of life, do we? They tried the other tree that was promised to give them death. But they had liberty. They were given the right of life, the right of liberty, and also another right as well. What happened in the cool of the evening? What did they get to do in the cool of the evenings? Seemed like it was the best part of the day, seems like how the Bible describes it. They were able to walk with who? They were able to walk with God in the cool of the evening. They looked forward, I think, to every evening to be able to walk with God. Except that one time. They didn't want to see God. They were embarrassed. So they were given the pursuit of God, which is actually the pursuit of happiness. So what was their three rights? They were given the right of life, the right of liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is the pursuit of God. Have we ever heard those three things before? Yeah, we have. Who said it? You guys know who said it? Who said these three inalienable rights that we have? No. I'm trying to think if he owned some money, any money. I was thinking the $20 bill. That's the other guy who starts with a J. It was Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson, the architect of the Constitution. He said these three things are our inalienable rights as humans. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And how sweet it is. It applies to so everything. And I ask, Lord, that you please work in this message. Help me have the right spirit. And thank you for all those who came today. And I pray that you please speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But these, you guys know what inalienable rights mean? Unalienable rights? Have an idea? No, it means you can't take them away. Can't be separated from them. But what happened? The day Adam and Eve disobeyed God, what happened to those rights? They got alienated from those rights, didn't they? They got separated from those three rights. Their life was to be what? They were to be killed that day. God says the day that you eat from that fruit, what's going to happen to you? You're supposed to die. Their life was to be forfeited. Their liberty was taken away. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They no longer had the right to go to the tree of life and eat from that tree real quick. Nope. They got kicked out of there. Their ability to better their life, which is liberty, was taken away from them. They no longer could walk with God in the cool evenings. They could no longer pursue God. Their pursuit of happiness. They had no reason to be happy. Nothing to look forward to except hard work and pain. There was no reason to be happy. Their rights were taken away that day. Instead of life, what did they have to do? Instead of getting killed, what did God kill? An animal. Did Brother Cloud say what animal is? He didn't? Didn't jump out there, huh? He assumed it was a lamb. I was going to say that. I just want to make sure he wasn't going to say it was a polar bear or something. Probably a lamb that was killed instead of Adam and Eve. And every year, what had to happen? They had to kill a lamb every single year to cover their sins. Their life, that lamb took its place every year. See that with Abel and continued that on until God gave the law and explained it all out, which was one day going to explain Christ. And instead of liberty, they were given what? Ten Commandments. They were given the law. Instead of the liberty to be able to better their lives, they were enslaved by the law. Instead of the pursuit of happiness, walking with God in the cool of the evening, walking and talking with God, what happened? They got Sinai. They got fire. They got smoke. They got thunderings. There was no longer that walk and talk with God. It was the fear of God and the anger of God on sin and their wickedness. Until Jesus came. Let's look at first in Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21. Till Jesus came. Till Jesus came, pockets. Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? Reconciled. So we used to be alienated from these three rights, but now we are reconciled through who? Through Jesus. He now restored us our rights. He gave us back these rights that Thomas Jefferson now said they're inalienable. Everyone has a right to these three things. The people in the Old Testament, they didn't have access to liberty that we have, but Jesus brought our rights back to us. First thing that Jesus gave us was our right to life. Let's look at John 1. John 1, 1. John 1, 1. We know that verse, and the verses after it pretty well. First right Jesus restored. John 1, 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus gave us back our life. And we know John 3:15-16, we know that one pretty well. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." How's it go, Wesley? Wesley's learning that verse. "Whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus gave us our right to life. All through John. I have a whole bunch of verses here in John, but they all talk about how Jesus gave us our life. In 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So what was the first right that Jesus restored us to us again? Life. He gave us back our right to life. And He gave us back our right to liberty as well. Let's look at Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. This is an Old Testament verse prophesying about Jesus, and Jesus quoting a verse about Him here. He almost ran off a cliff for it. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus came to give us back our right to liberty. We now have the right to better our lives, to better ourselves. We can now better our destiny. What's our destiny mean? Our destination, where we're going to end up someday. We can, instead of being condemned to hell, we can now better our destination to heaven. We have that ability now through Jesus Christ. Before, we could not do it. We are trying and trying and trying to keep the law, but we couldn't do it. But Jesus gave us our liberty, which is our ability to better our lives. We can better our reward now after we get saved. We can work on doing things for Christ, like passing out tracts tomorrow, and we can get a better reward in heaven. Building our lives not out of wood, hay, and stubble, but out of precious stones and gold and silver, things that will last. We can better our reward. We can free ourselves from the chains of addictions that keep us from a quality life. Saw those people last week. They're not in liberty, are they? "Oh, I'm going to live in a tent there in Longview. I'm going to be free from rent." Are they free out there? They're addicted to so many things. Like one guy told Brother David, "Like, what drugs are you using?" "Oh, all of them. I don't discriminate." They were addicted. They're not free. "Oh, I'm free to live wherever I want." No, but they're not free. But us as Christians, we have the ability to conquer addictions, something that an unsaved person does not have the ability to do. We have the freedom here as a Christian to better to not be selfish, to help our countrymen out. And as a nation, help each other out to have a better quality nation, to have a better society. There's a joke in Mexico about a guy in Tijuana, right there at the border, Tijuana, he is catching crabs. And you guys hear this joke? Okay. So he had two buckets there. He's right on the border. He's catching crabs. And he throws some crabs, the ones from America, on the American side, crabs, he throws in a bucket and puts a lid on top. And the Mexican crabs, he throws in a bucket with no lid on it. And a guy came by and said, "Hey, how come those American crabs there, you put a lid, and on the Mexican crabs, you don't put a lid?" He said, "Well, you see, on the Mexican crabs, when someone starts one of those crabs almost start to climb out of the bucket, another crab down underneath pulls them back in the bucket. But those American crabs over there, they help each other out of the bucket. Got to put a lid on top of them." And that's something that a country that was based on God's word, we don't think of only ourselves. We think of helping each other out. And that's why you see such a nice country out there, such nice roads, because people are actually out to help other people out, more so in other countries. That's true. That's even Brother Cloud talked about that. So we have the liberty to better our lives as a Christian. And again, we have the right of the pursuit of happiness. Because what's the pursuit of happiness? It's the pursuit of God, the pursuit of the will of God. As God began to reveal himself to us from the Bible, let's look at it in Hebrews 1:1. Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God, every once in a while, is what it's saying, sundry times, you know, hit and miss. You never really knew, you know, he talked to Abel, he talked to Enoch, he talked to Noah, talked to Abraham, and he just kind of just, you know, here and there, talked to people, showed them stuff, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So now, each one of us has the ability to pursue God. Pursue God. Figure out what is it that God really likes. What is it that God enjoys? And we have the opportunity now to pursue God, just like Adam and Eve got to pursue God in the cool of the evening. We now have that ability now to pursue God, see what he likes. And what is it that God likes? Let's look at it. John 6. John 6. What is it that God wants from us? God the Father, what is it that he wants from us? John 6:28. Great verse. Talks against works. Use it all the time when I'm soul winning down there. John 6:28. John 6:28 says, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What is it that God really wants us to do, Jesus? Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." This is what God wants you to do. Wants you to trust me. Wants you to believe that I'm the one that came to take away your sins. And in 13:17 says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." If you know my words, happy are ye if ye do them. Jesus restored our right to the pursuit of happiness, to the pursuit of God, which is only through Jesus Christ. But what are we doing? What are we doing as a country now? What are we doing as a country now? Are we grabbing hold as a country these three unalienable rights? Is that what we're getting? Are we after? Are we taking hold of life, liberty, and the pursuit of God, which is the pursuit of happiness? Are we taking hold of human enslavement, the opposite of human rights? Instead of the right to life, seems like we're choosing the condemnation of death, aren't we? Let's look in Proverbs. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And that's what we do as a country right now. We're following death. We're following our own way. We're trying to just figure it out what we think is right. And it's leading to what? It's leading to death. The strange woman, Proverbs 7, let's look at it. Proverbs 7:22. Young man was looking for his own way. 7:22 and says, "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." It says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray to her path. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Instead of seeking life, we're choosing death as a country. And the world has become enamored with death. They love death, it seems like. Everywhere you see a skeleton. Every t-shirt, it seems, has a skeleton on it somewhere. And they don't know what to do with death. They don't know what to do with it. You know, all their rock stars all died at 27. Hardly. They all died really young. They even made it that long. And all their icons just die so early. They have no other choice but to embrace death because they don't know what to do with it. Because to give up death would mean to give up on their sin, doesn't it? Look at James 1:15. James 1:15. They can't get rid of death, so they figure we might as well join up with it. If you can't beat it, join it. This is their mentality. The world's mentality, it's nation's mentality. They're in love with death. It says here in James 1:15, "Then with lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." They can't control their lust, which brings sin, and sin always brings forth death. So they figure, you know what, let's just embrace death. Eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That is what they've given instead of the right to life. They've taken up the condemnation of death. And instead of liberty, slavery. So liberty, our second inalienable right, we as a nation have embraced slavery. I'm blessed, God, I'm an American. I can drink wherever I want. I have the right to drink in this country. We're a free nation. I can smoke marijuana. I'm an American. We have this right here. We're free in this country. I can be a homosexual. We're free in this country. I can watch whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can listen to whatever I want because I'm an American and we're free here. What is that we've done as a country? We've enslaved ourselves looking for liberty. Let's look here in Galatians 5:1. Explains it perfectly. Galatians 5:1. Remember what the definition of liberty was? Having the freedom to better oneself. Through their liberty, they've kept themselves from being able to better their lives. Sorry, took a wrong turn. Verse 5 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Christ gave us the freedom to be able to better our lives, but us as a nation are no longer bettering our lives, but making it worse. And verse 13 says as well, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And in the church, not just America, in the church, I'm free to wear pants as a woman. I've got that liberty. It's my liberty as a Christian. Yeah, you're right. You can not lose your salvation, wear pants. Sure enough, that's how it works. I can fornicate and not lose my salvation. I'm free in Christ. Yep, that's true. You can fornicate and you're not going to lose your salvation. I can listen to whatever kind of music. I'm free in Christ. But what is liberty again? I always forget. You know, you probably don't believe my definition. But it's a pretty good one. I think it's really good. We have the freedom to better oneself. And that's what the church in Corinth was doing. They were puffed up. They were puffed up, bragging about all their liberty in Christ. When Paul says, you guys ought to be mourning because you've lost your ability to better yourself. You've lost your ability as a church to better yourself. You're just going to go downhill from now on. You're not going to get any better. You've lost your liberty. Your liberty has brought you, the liberty towards sin has brought you to enslavement again. And instead of the human right of the pursuit of happiness, which is the pursuit of God, as a nation, we've gone after the human enslavement of the pursuit of possession. Instead of the pursuit of God, instead of the pursuit of happiness, we've gone after the pursuit of possessions, the pursuit of things. Let's look in Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15. Luke 12:15 says, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Also in Matthew 13:22. says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Instead of the right of the pursuit of happiness, so many in this nation have gone off after the pursuit of things. But what about us? What about you? What have you done with your rights? Have you obtained life, liberty? Are you in the pursuit of God, which is the pursuit of happiness? Or are you alienated, just like Adam was, in death, addictions, and the pursuit of things? As a nation, we know where we are, don't we? Well, I'm going to have a social studies class right now. Don't know how this is going to work. I'm going to try it out. I need 3 kids. Same size. I'll bring your brother. What's your name? Xavier. You know that? to stand here, Savior. Aubrey, you're going to stand there directly like that. You're going to grab a hold of it. And okay. So anybody can tell me the three branches of government?
You guys will all get deported if the immigration showed up.
Yeah. Okay, so who wants to be the president? Okay, Xavier, you're the executive branch. You're the legislative branch. You're the judicial branch, okay? I'm going to move this over here so I can all fit on this platform. So the way Thomas Jefferson designed this was actually based on the Bible. But he's going to have three things, and it's an odd number, three things, so they can't gang up and go their own way. And all of these are going to be balanced out. So we're going to try to balance you guys out. I want you all to put your feet relatively in the same square. I want you all to lean out. Lean out. Lean out. Oh, it's kind of working. So that's how the government works. Xavier, he's the executive branch. And the executive branch enforces the law. When the president comes in, you don't just get a president. You get a new treasurer. You get a new attorney general, thank you. And you get a whole bunch of enforcers. And that's what comes with the executive branch. You don't vote for these treasurers. They're the doers and the enforcers. And they carry the pistols and the whips, you know, and the tickets and all that stuff. And that's what the executive branch. They're the doers, they're the enforcers. Now, Aubrey here, she's a thinker. And she comes up with the laws. She's like, you know what? I have a good idea. I think, you know, we should do this. And she writes a law, and she gives it to the president, and he enforces that law. But whenever there's a bad law or something that, you know, isn't quite right, it gets kicked out and gets sent over here to Micaiah, and he looks at that law, and he says, hey, this is a really bad law. This goes against the Constitution. This goes against morality. This is stupid, guys. And he throws it out whenever there's a bad law. It's really simple how this works, okay? And so all these people, they're all balanced out. Can you guys balance again? There we go. They're all balanced out. But whenever Micaiah says, you know what, we don't need that guy anymore, Aubrey and Xavier, they go do their own thing over there. They just go off to the left like crazy. Start doing their own thing because they're like, you know what, Mr. Judicial Branch? We don't care about morality. We don't care about our, what's based on the Bible and all that stuff. And you know what? Right and wrong, there's no right and wrong. It's just whatever the other people are doing. And so instead of using Micaiah's morality, because Micaiah, you know, no one voted for him. He just got chosen. He's there for life. And he's only answerable to God. Reality, that's it. So when you get a judge in the Supreme Court, in the judicial branch, that says, you know what? You know, there's not really no right and wrong. You know, I'm not going to base my thoughts on the Bible anymore or God. There's no God. These two go do whatever they want to do. And that's how we as a nation lost our liberty. Kind of makes sense? But this problem didn't start on a national level. It started at the person level, at the human level. So we're going to rename these guys now. Now, Mr. El Presidente here, he's not president anymore, because we're talking about you, the individual, me. This is the doer and the enforcer. What's the doer and the enforcer on the three things, body, soul, or spirit? Who's the doer and the enforcer? What? The body. The body. Xavier now is the body. He's the doer. Aubrey here, she's the thinker, the feeler, She's the she comes up with ideas and desires, and she sends it to the members over here, which is Xavier, to go do. Imagine this. Imagine if you just did everything you desired. You just did everything you came up with and wanted to do. Imagine that. There'd be some serious problems, wouldn't there be? And that's what happened. There are some serious problems. Because why? Because we were born without a spirit. We were born without Micaiah here. This is our spirit. That's why we need to get born again. So that, can you guys balance again? That all of this is stable. And there's a resistance to not do what's wrong. And Micaiah is over here controlling. Look, this is what God wants us to do. Look, this is what the Bible says we ought to do. And we got to follow God, because when a person gets saved, he has the Holy Spirit to be able to control them. And that's how we can get victory over sin. So, our loss of our human rights started when we got rid of Micaiah. We got rid of our spirit. When we said, you know what? I'm not going to get saved. I think I know what's right. I think I know what's wrong. I'm not going to be bad like that guy. And you just kind of fudge it in there. I'm pretty much like everyone else. What happens? Aubrey and Xavier, the body and the emotions, the desires, go do their own thing and end up losing their freedoms, losing their liberty, because they didn't take Jesus. He was right there. He was right there, willing to come in so that they could have life. They could have liberty. They could have the freedom to better their destiny, their eternal souls. And they had the ability to pursue God, which is pursuing happiness, but they didn't take Jesus when he came to offer them salvation. You guys can sit down. I don't know if that made sense. I thought it was kind of fun. So, the question is, do you have these inalienable rights? Or are you still alienated from Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be Christians who have taken advantage of the rights that you gave us. We forfeited all these things in Eden because we're sinful creatures that need to be held by you. And we thank you so much for coming to pay for our sins and then giving us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, to be able to control our inordinate affections. And Lord, I ask that everyone here would, if there anyone here that's not saved, that they would soon receive you so that they could be partakers of these rights that you freely have given each human being. And Lord, that we would be able to be an example to the rest of the world how we are in check, we are in balance, because we now have the Holy Spirit in us to control our desires and our fleshly wants and to keep us in self-control. And Father, I pray that we would show this to the world, show them what they're missing, show them that these rights that we now have of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is the pursuit of you. And help us as we go out this weekend and be a light tomorrow at the 4th of July parade, and that others, Lord, would soon be able to have these inalienable rights that every human being should have, but because of sin have not yet received. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.